Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cherub CDH Radio.
Hi, everyone. This week we are going to talk to CDH mom Tara Hall, who is the mother of Cherub Brandon Hall, and I've got her waiting on the line. Tara, are you there?
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So we are on the podcast now, and I have only told the audience that you are a CDH mom and you have a Cherub named Brandon, so we want to hear your story. So let's start at the very beginning, but let's start before CDH. So tell me what life was like before you heard those three little words.
Well, let's see. I was working at a grocery store as a manager in customer service, and we were just trudging along, happy as could be. We're married for 3 years, and that was about it. Went to the hospital, have a baby, and then we found out about CDH.
So Brandon is your first, and yes. You had no indication whatsoever when you were pregnant. None of the ultrasound showed anything or no symptoms or anything at all?
That's correct. We had an ultrasound when I was 7 weeks, and then we had another one at 36 weeks, and he said everything was fine, baby looked great, was breached, and then we went in at 37 weeks. They thought my water was leaking and did another ultrasound to confirm he was breached. And we went and sent us home, said everything was fine. He had asked when my last ultrasound was, and I had said I'd had one the week before. Didn't say anything. Sent us home. The next night, my water broke. And since we knew the baby was breached, he was 3 weeks early, we went in, had the C-section. And, you know, they cut the cord. Brandon didn't breathe. And they started CPR, and once they got him stabilized, they took him for the chest x-ray and all that, and that's when we found out about the CDH.
Wow. So what was he born at a smaller hospital, or you guys are in a big city? Did you happen to be at the Children's Hospital, or how did that work out?
We're actually in Columbus, which is a big city, and I was blessed enough to be to have him at a hospital that has a level 3 NICU, and they were able to get him stabilized, and our children's hospital was right around the corner. So they had him stabilized and ready for transport within an hour and a half.
Wow.
And they took him
That's
to Children's
amazing.
Right away.
That's an amazing stroke of luck right there. And
it was.
What happened after that? They sent him over there. Jeff followed him, and you recovered. And what were the next few days like?
Yeah, they took him over to Children's and the other hospital since I had the C-section. And they said they were going to keep my phone on. They normally turn the phones off at night, but since he was critical. And I got a call from the hospital, I want to say about 4 o'clock in the morning. Brandon was about 8 hours old, and they were going to put him on ECMO because he had failed the nitric oxide. So they put him on ECMO, and He was on ECMO for 7 days. That was a Wednesday. I got out of the hospital around noon on Friday and went right over there to be with him. So he did the ECMO for the 7 days. And he had his first repair on ECMO, 7 days old.
Well, let's back up a little bit. When did you first hear what the diagnosis was? How did they explain it to you, and how much did you understand? Because that's important to us, because we want to be able to learn from that for the next generation. So how did that come about?
So when he was born, obviously, you know, they cut the cord. He didn't breathe. You know, we had no idea what was going on. And so we were just dumbfounded. You know, we thought we were going in to have this perfectly healthy baby. And I kind of felt bad for the doctor, because my doctor wasn't on call. So here I had this strange man delivering this baby, and everything goes wrong. So they got him on the ventilator and took him off to run the test, and they did an x-ray. And they brought the x-rays back down, and this guy's like, started crying. And he's like, "I am so sorry, your baby has this thing called congenital diaphragmatic hernia." And, you know, Jeff and I are just sitting there nodding our heads like, okay. And he explains what it is, and he tells us that a lot of babies don't make it. And we're just sitting there nodding our heads, okay, okay. And he said that they have to take him to the other hospital. And I still, even to this day, I don't think we fully comprehended the gravity of the situation. We were both, I was 29, and I look back now and I think how young and naive we were. It's just, to hear those words, you can't even begin to fathom what all it encompasses. They tell you, we can fix it surgically. It just doesn't even, you can't fathom what all it entails. And then I get
That's
to the
very,
hospital
very
to
true.
Go see him. You get to the hospital and your baby's surrounded by all these machines and people and the sounds. It's quite overwhelming.
It absolutely is. No one prepares you for it before you walk in the room. Now, friend, very often no one thinks to do that, because the doctors and nurses are so used to it, they don't think that it's the first time for us to see that and how overwhelming scary it is.
Back then, you know, they still had Polaroid cameras, so they sent Polaroid over to the hospital I was at so I could, you know, see him before I came to kind of get a general idea of what I was walking into.
That's good.
We didn't
I had those
cell phones.
Too. I know. How did we survive CDH without Facebook?
I know.
Amazing. Well, Brandon had his first repair, and how did that go? And what material did they use? And how was recovery with that?
It went really well. He had an uneventful ECMO run. And like I said, they did his repair on ECMO. He was a week old, and they used Gore-Tex. He was able to come off ECMO the next day, did really well, and a couple weeks, let's see, I'm trying to think here, about a week and a half later, he unfortunately developed SVT, which is a high heart rate, but that was able to be controlled by medication. So that was a little hiccup there, which kind of scared us a little bit, but was thankfully controlled.
And then how long was he on the ventilator and oxygen and in the hospital?
He came off the ventilator, I want to say about 3.5 weeks old, which was just totally amazing. But then he re-herniated and had to have another repair, which put him back on a ventilator. But he came back off of that. But he recovered from that really well. But they, when they did that repair, which was with another patch also, they decided to go ahead and do the Nissen fundoplication for reflux and put in a G-tube. So they did all that, and we came home at 6 weeks with no oxygen and just the apnea monitor for the high heart rate and the feeding tube.
That's incredible.
It was.
That's absolutely amazing. Wow. And then what happened?
Then 3 weeks later, we were back in for another re-herniation, which he did really well with again. They used another patch. He was in for a week and came back home, and we struggled with feeding and developmental delays and more re-herniations.
Now, Brandon has had how many CDH repairs now?
He has had a total of 6.
Go ahead.
They've used 1 muscle and 5 patches. He currently has a patch now.
Diaphragm, did he have at birth? Did he have any at all on that side?
He had virtually no left diaphragm. They used the patch, and they actually have it wrapped around his rib cage, which has caused some scoliosis.
Okay. So 6 CDH repairs, 5 Gore-Tex, and 1 muscle, and all that before he was how old?
2.
Wow.
Yes,
that
he did a lot at a young age.
Yeah, he really, really did. And no repairs since.
Correct. He did just recently have what they call an intestinal wall hernia. One of his internal sutures had come loose and some fatty tissue came through. So he had that repaired December 1st. Amazing. Again, he was home in 5 hours after surgery, back to work in 2 weeks.
Wow. He is definitely something else. Now, when I met you guys, he was still in diapers, still a little guy.
Yes.
And
yes.
The big thing that you were struggling with then was feeding. And
yes,
he has such an interesting history. Well, Brandon's just a special kid all the way around. He does nothing normally. He never takes the easy road on anything. But he's a miracle. He's just an amazing kid, and it's been quite a pleasure watching him grow up, because you guys are family to me.
Thank you.
Brandon's like my nephew. But I want you to share the feeding stuff, because there are so many families out there struggling and beating their heads against the wall, trying to conquer the feeding monster. And that was such a big deal for you guys, but you did it. So can you talk more about that, all the struggles you had?
You know, I beat my head against the wall over that one, too. Yeah, like you said, it was such a long journey. And I did home daycare for a long time, and Brandon was always given a meal along with the kids. He never touched it. He just sat and looked at it. When he got the feeding tube, when he initially came home, we tried to breastfeed. He didn't want anything to do with it. I tried every nipple that every store in America sold. He did take a passy until he was about 15 months, and then he started gagging on it, got rid of that on his own. We struggled really bad with a lot of gagging and retching. He couldn't tolerate any bolus feeds, so our feeding schedule was anywhere from 16 to 23 hours a day with the pump. And Brandon was so orally aversive that to even look at the bottle nipple would set him into a gagging and retching fit that would cause him to turn blue. So when we decided to try orally feeding, it was after he was 2 and medically stable, surgically wise. I take that back. We waited till he was about 3. We brought in a therapist, and we literally had to start working back at his ear with a washcloth. We would take a washcloth and touch his ear, and then gradually every day work closer to his mouth. Then we would try the little mini vibrators. We would again start back at the ear and then work to the mouth until we eventually were able to put something into his mouth. And then he would finally pick up items and suck on them, hold them, touch them. And he went from touching things to putting them in his mouth, but he still wasn't actually eating them. So when he was 4, I didn't like the programs that they had locally for us to try. We went to Cincinnati and Cleveland to check out their feeding programs. And then I heard from another Cherub's mom about a program in Virginia called Kluge. We decided to take him there. We went there for 2 weeks. Brandon was 99% tube-fed, and within 2 weeks he came out 100% orally eating and had his G-tube removed, 8 months later, and has not looked back since.
That's just absolutely amazing, the difference in just 2 weeks.
He will
it
was phenomenal. And he eats pretty much anything now, except for he still doesn't like pureed consistencies. And that was one thing she struggled with at the program, because they generally do bossas, yogurt, and Brandon didn't like those consistencies. He wanted bacon, pancakes, and salad.
Wow.
So that's what he ate.
And so he started school without any tubes, right? And how does that go? Go ahead.
I said we made it to kindergarten with no feeding tubes. I know there were
and
many times we talked at night that we were going to graduate with that tube.
But he didn't. He did great. Now, how is, you said some developmental delays. And about how long did it take for him to catch up?
He didn't walk until he was 2.5. It seemed like every time we would go one step forward, he'd have another surgery, and then we'd be 5 steps back, literally. So at 2.5, he started walking. He was running 2 weeks later. And then he just took off after that. His speech was a little delayed. He had trouble forming certain words. He had all the therapies you could think of until about 6th grade. And then we finally tested out of the IEP programming and the early intervention services here in Columbus. They were phenomenal with him.
That's great. That is great. And Brandon is a black belt. Can you talk about
that
a little bit?
So we struggled with, he played t-ball when he was probably around 4, did really well, 4 or 5. And then when he went to transition into baseball, noticed that the kids were just so much bigger than him, so much faster. So we really struggled with finding something for him to do athletically that he didn't feel so far behind. So a friend of mine was talking about how her son was in karate. I'm like, oh, you know, this sounds like something he could do. So we put him in it, went one or two days a week. Little did I know how much he would enjoy it. He was in it for 7-8 years, no longer than that. Ended up, he now holds a second degree black belt in karate. He did competition karate, including fighting, sparring, kumite, up until he was 18. And then he was in a tournament in West Virginia, and he received a concussion, which was his second one in 6 months. He was sparring a young man that was 34 years old and probably had a good 80 pounds on him and almost knocked him out. So we decided that maybe competition was no longer for him. So his work schedule now doesn't allow him to be in it too much, and but he is wanting to get back in it. His surgeon just cleared him to go back, so he might look into it again. He's a tough one.
He is. He's a great kid, and he is smart as a whip, and stubborn as a mule, which has served him well through the years.
Yes,
with everything that he's fought. That's a good quality to have when you're a chair. It really is, because that makes them survivors. And so he's just a really, really great kid, and you guys have done an amazing job with him. You really have, for everything he's been through. And black belt after CDH, after CDH 6 times, and he currently holds the world record for CDH repairs with 2 other cherubs, including Shane. And I have told Brandon 1,000 times that he does not need to break that and just keep it right where it is. And
so we discuss that all the time.
6 is good. Don't need to overachieve.
Yes.
There. It's good. And so he's working now, and he's an adult. He's an adult. Wow.
He
time
is.
Has flown.
He's
really
about to
fast.
Turn 21 this year.
Wow.
Mom is having a really hard time with that one.
Oh, no, I had a hard time when he turned 18 and was in Ireland with us. That was, if he's an adult there, that was a whole different world to see him all grown up. But he's not only, you know, such a great example for the other kids, but he's really involved with them at the conferences, and they all look up to him. And there's been more than one little girl with a crush on Brandon over the years. And
yes.
He's just a really good kid and does a great job, and he's a good leader with the other cherubs, and we all adore him very much. And you have
Thank
been
you.
Incredibly involved with cherubs for all of these years too, for 20 years. You volunteered, I don't even know how many positions you've had over the year, Tara, pretty much all of them at one time or another you've done. and you hold the Ohio Picnic every year for us. And
yes.
You've done that how many years now? 11, 12? How many
years?
No,
we are going on this will be our 16th year.
Oh, my gosh.
I need to ask Amanda.
Wow.
Amanda keeps track better than I do.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
yeah,
absolutely
I'm currently
amazing.
Planning the next one, so.
Well, we so appreciate that. I know it means a lot to families, and you've watched a lot of cherubs grow up who've come to that picnic and get married and have babies of their own.
Yeah.
Especially thinking about Amanda, and she, I've got to do an interview with her, because, you know, she got married, she got engaged at one of our events, and that was just,
yes,
has me tearing up thinking about that. You know, watching these kids grow
that was
up.
So special.
And you. It was. And you were around during the old listserv days when everyone got emails instead of forum posts and Facebook messages. And we were also very, very close back in those days. And we've just seen so many kids grow up and graduate and move on and do well and have children of their own. It makes me feel really old.
I know.
I'm so happy. So happy.
Well,
Karen's
is a reason I got a computer. We didn't even have a computer when Brandon was born. And I got the newsletter in the NICU, and it was talking about, you know, it's an online support group. And, you know, I just had so many nights where I'm sitting there because Brandon's dad worked at night. I'm sitting there by myself. I'm like, I have to talk to people. I just can't keep doing this by myself. So a friend of ours bought us a computer just so I could be online for Cherubs.
Wow. Well, thank that
so that's how
for
I,
me. Cause...
I will. That's how I got our first computer was because of Cherubs.
Wow. I'd never heard that story in all these years.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. Well, you've been a blessing to a lot of moms over the years, holding their hands. And you were a blessing to me when I had Shane and when he died. And I don't know how I would have survived without you. And cannot thank you enough and Brandon enough. And I hope to see you guys soon again at one of the conferences. If I don't get up there to the picnic, I need to get up there to the picnic again. And,
yes, you do. You know my door is always open.
Oh, thank you. Well, we only have 2 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to tell the families? Any advice you have for our new families struggling and any words of wisdom to share?
First of all, journal. That's one thing I did not do was journal, and I really regret that. Just know you're not alone. We're all here. We've been there. Every walk is different, but it's similar or the same. And reach out. Someone is always there, whether it be email, text, Facebook, phone call. That's what we're here for. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. We're a worldwide organization. Someone is up 24 hours a day. Just reach out to somebody because you are not alone. And please don't ever feel like you are.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Tar, very much. And we love you guys. And
Dawn,
we'll
thank
see
you.
You soon.
You know, I could not have survived without you.
We got through this whole interview. Don't make me cry now.
I know. I'm like, okay, I can do this.
We're doing good. All right. Well, I will see you online. Thank you, Tara.
Okay. Love you, Dawn.
Bye. Love you, too. Bye. Bye.